I guess we can just about all go home now. Apostle Tim pretty much preached my message. So, yeah, good deal, good times. So for Jan, this message is titled The Simplicity of the Gospel. This is a theme that the Lord has been really hitting hard with me, I guess, the past few months, and been developing a whole lot. And it's already after 12. I know that doesn't really matter, but there's a... I'm going to warn you guys in advance. There's a lot of scriptures, but what I may do is instead of reading all of them, I may throw the references out, and then you can write them down, and when you got time later, you can go back and look them up. But mostly we'll be in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Colossians. And since Apostle Tim kind of set me up here, I'm going to actually skip to the end and then kind of work my way backwards a little bit and talk about some practical ways to set your quiet times with the Lord, whether to do your devotions or develop your prayer life or your prayer language, or, you know, to sit and listen to the Lord, or whether to read your Bible and dig into the Word. And before that, I want to talk about, there was a, Josh had a dream this week that was kind of confirmation of my message, in which there was a Bible. He was reaching for the Bible, for the Word of God, and these vines kept coming up in his way and tangling him up, tangling the Bible up, and he kept reaching for it, and it was really difficult for him to grab hold of it, and it was like a big struggle. And sometimes it just feels like that when we get to read the Word, where it feels like it's this huge struggle, and sometimes it's just a struggle to get some time to do it without being interrupted with a whole bunch of people or falling asleep or whatever. So, way number one, say no to people from time to time. Step one. Sometimes you have to say no. You have to clear your schedule and just make some time to be at home by yourself. And that can be really hard to do, depending on family obligations or friends or work. That's step number one. Number two, get up early or stay up late to have your quiet time with the Lord. Some people, it works better for them to get up early in the morning while everyone else is still asleep. They can get their coffee or tea or whatever and have that quiet time in the morning. And other people, it's easier for them to do it late at night. Sometimes you wake up in the night, can't go back to sleep. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention and saying, hey, why don't you hang out with me? You got nothing else to do at 2 a.m. Yeah, right. Number three, turn on worship music. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phone and limit the time you spend looking at media. That's like the biggest eater up of time, my time. And sometimes you don't have to turn on worship music, but it helps me get in the right mood if I have it playing softly in the background. Helps keep me kind of focused, and it kind of helps me settle down. And number four, go outside or somewhere quiet. If you can't really walk around outside, or if you can't find someone quiet in your house, you can get in your car and go for a drive, or just sit in the yard in your car. If you're at work and you need a few minutes, sometimes when I was at work, I used to go on my lunch break and sometimes just go sit in the restroom stall for 5-10 minutes and pray, because there was nowhere at work to get any sort of privacy and not have someone talking or nya, you know, especially when I was a teacher, the teacher's lounge was a constant hotbed of drama. People fighting over the coffee machine, cussing each other out, complaining about their husbands, all just like, ah. So anyway, number five, You can schedule a quiet time or a study time with another person, like a family member or a friend. Or if you show up to the new men's Bible study or the ladies' fitness night, then that helps. It helps me stay accountable if I'm with another person and we do it together. Then that I feel more obligated to stick to it and not just wander off and get distracted. Yep. Number six, if you've got a lot of family interruptions, set times where children are self-entertaining. This is really big. I did nannying and babysitting for 12 years, and I found out that a lot of kids, their parents never teach them, they never teach their child how to be by themselves for an hour and just play by themselves. But if you're a parent or a grandparent, there comes a point where you cannot entertain that child 24/7 every single minute every day. And so sometimes you have to go, okay, I need you to go play in your room for an hour. I need you to go play outside for an hour while mommy's going to do this or that. And sometimes you have to do that with adults in your life that get bored and want to talk to you or have things that, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, now. Sometimes you just have to say, okay, this is not an emergency. It's not going to be now. It's going to be later. I'm going to do this first. Don't call me or knock on my door or talk to me or text me until after this time. And then I will get with you. And sometimes you just got to do that because it's the only way you can get a moment to yourself. Yeah, doesn't mean you hate that person or you're being mean. It just means that you need a moment. Yep. Number seven, write things in your journal. When you write stuff down, it helps you remember it so that you can go back and look at it later. But also, it makes you slow down your thought process. Because otherwise, I have a tendency to sit there and my thoughts can just be like, you know, but if I make myself write it out in sentences, it slows it down. I can focus on a particular thought a lot better. I can come back later if I think of something else and add to it. Eight, this is something I used to do in college. Go on a dinner or lunch date with the Holy Spirit. When I had roommates and lived in dorms and in apartments, there was no quiet anywhere in my living space at any point. There were always mobs of people. It was rough. I really like quiet time. I like privacy. That was like torture for me. So sometimes I would just get in my car, go to a restaurant, take my Bible and journal, and just eat by myself and read my Bible and do a Bible study by myself in the restaurant. And it wasn't because I was lonely or I couldn't get anyone to go with me. It was just the only way I could ever get a chance to spend any time with the Lord. Amen. It's some quiet. People do that all the daily grind too, all the time. We see people come in with their Bible and journal and they'll just get a table and they'll just sit for hours. Number nine. This is actually something I heard Benny Hinn talk about. And that is when he wakes up first thing in the morning, before he jumps out of bed and gets rolling, he takes a moment to greet the Lord and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father." And this is something that I started doing when I was school teaching that really helped me a lot. When the alarm goes off, instead of jumping up and rushing to do this, that, and the other, I start thinking about my to-do list. Just make myself lie still for a few minutes. Think about the Lord. Think about my day. Collect myself, get it all together up here before I get up and go out of that bedroom and go on with my day. Because once you open that door, you don't know what else is going on in the house or at work or whatever. And the last one, number 10, we did a little bit this morning. Get in your prayer closet during church, taking altar time on purpose instead of just rushing on with the next part of the service or rushing off to lunch. Sometimes you got obligations that you got to do and you got to leave, but sometimes it's good just to sit before the Lord and just honor him with your time for a few extra minutes. Listen and see if he has anything to say to you. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes you're just sitting there honoring the Lord by giving him a few minutes to sit and give him your time. And it doesn't have to be because there's something bad going on in your life. You don't have to be sick to get prayer or be in the middle of a crisis or depressed or anything like that. You know, sometimes it's just good to sit and just give the Lord a few extra minutes, you know, just because he's God.
Yeah.
All right. So those are my 10 practical ways. All right. So this is something I really felt like the Lord was talking to me, that he really wants us to fight to clear the space around us, to fight, clear the space around you in your life, and fight to give yourself the room that you need to do what you need to do. And don't let yourself get squished by the enemy or crowded by the enemy or oppressed. They call it oppressed or oppression in the Bible a lot, but it's really just like getting squished or pressured or crowded. That's something that when I think about like battle tactics with old land wars, you would have armies set themselves up. So if you're a soldier and you get surrounded on all sides by the enemy, you're done for. You just got to surrender at that point because you got nowhere to go. And the enemy likes to crowd us and pressure us and pull at us and try to come at us and overwhelm us from every side. And we got to learn how to push back against that and not get that way. With the kingdom of God, there is a clarity and simplicity of heart and mind. And out of that clarity and simplicity, there is freedom and there is peace. And we can take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Pages are all sticking together. There it is. 3:15. Yeah, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And the simplicity of the gospel can give us the peace of Christ that can set the tone in our lives and just set the tone in our hearts. And that makes a really big difference. And it's the opposite. It's the opposite of the world. It's the opposite of drama. If you find yourself in the situation where you're having to say, it's complicated. You ever say that when you're in a conversation with somebody and you're trying to explain what's going on and you're like, well, it's complicated. Or they're complicated. That person is complicated. Everything's so complicated. Then we got to watch out for that, because that's the opposite of where we should be. It's easy to get ourselves confused. And the enemy, the devil, will try to lie to us and confuse us and make things very complicated that don't need to be that complicated. There's something called a spirit of confusion, where sometimes we get in this headspace up here that can be very rough and very just confused, and the enemy will use that as an attack to get us down. Sometimes it feels like we're listening to too many voices. That's why I say it's good to turn the media off sometimes, because there's too many people saying this, that, argue all the time. People and families can't agree with each other. People at work, coworkers, people in your life. There's sometimes people are just trying to pull you in every direction and nobody can agree with each other. And the Lord is not like that. James 1:17 talks about the Father of lights, and in him is no shadow. The Lord is just clear. He's sweet. He's pure. He's easy. He's full of grace. Jesus said, my burden is light. Everything about the Lord is the opposite of all of that. And one of the things that the Lord talks about a lot is making things easy or straight. You get that a lot in Scripture. We can take a look at, well, this time I'm actually going to use Luke chapter 3. And it's a theme. So these scriptures are repeated a lot. It's in basically every gospel, but it's also it's John the Baptist, but he's quoting Isaiah, actually. So you see it a whole lot in the scripture. Luke chapter 3, verse 5. He talks about every valley, or this is talking about prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So there's something about in your walk with the Lord where it's a straight path, it's a level path, it's an easy path, whereas if you get off the road, the way can get real crooked, real devious. You find yourself going places that you never planned on going and doing things that you said you'd never do. You said you'd never say, you said never to go there. But when you get off the way of the Lord into sin, into other problems, that's what happens. It gets crooked. People talk about people can be crooked sometimes where it's just not going straight, not going right. And, so if we're ever in a situation where, hey, you feel confused or panicked or you don't know the right way to go, that's a good point at that point to just stop and slow down and wait for the Lord to give you direction and tell you where to go. Don't make a sudden snap decision out of panic or fear because of something that this has got to happen or it's not going to happen If you start getting that way, it's a really good signal to, hey, I need to slow down, I need to take my time, I need to hear from the Lord, and I need to do this with the spirit of peace. The kingdom is so simple and so easy that even a child can grasp it in all of the kingdom's fullness. It's not like children get a junior version of the gospel or the kid version of the gospel. They get the whole thing. Yep. They get it. Yeah. Scriptures that talk about this are Matthew 19, verse 13, and Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10. I'm not really going to read them, but Jesus talked about how the kingdom belongs to the children. And you have to be like a child to really get it sometimes. And the Beatitudes are like always, blessed are the poor, the small, the weak, those in need. But even though we know this, that the kingdom is easy to figure out and simple, sometimes we have a really hard time getting it. Because sometimes the gospel just seems too good to be true. Or the word of the Lord just seems too easy or too good to be true, too simple to be real. And sometimes we just have a hard time believing that it's really going to work, that this is really going to happen, or that it's really going to be that easy. I think it's very interesting that Billy Graham recently graduated to heaven. He was a minister that really, his life kind of embodied the simple gospel message. He didn't get involved in a bunch of political stuff or fights between denominations. His core message, he just had one core message, and that was about salvation and the goodness of God and repentance. And he lived a very simple life, had one wife, retired to a log cabin in the mountains of North Carolina. And then his casket, I think, was really interesting. His casket was built by criminals in prison, him and his wife. Just simple pine boxes. He didn't want any ornamentation because he wanted to remember two things. One, that he was no better than anyone else on this earth, even a felon in prison. He was just the same as they were. And two, that he and his wife were both prisoners for the gospel. That he wanted to live that kind of life and never... He was very humble. He didn't want to get above himself. On the other hand, the world is the opposite. And I'll use Egypt as example. Egypt's a really good biblical example of the world. They've got many gods, many different temples. Pharaoh, he was a real sneaky guy, you know. He always had an answer to Moses as to why he couldn't let the people go. And the world is like that. The world's very sneaky, promises a lot of things, say a lot of things, but sometimes you don't get what you think you're getting. You know, there's this type of salesmanship that some people have where they promise you all this stuff, and then when you actually get it, it's not what you thought you ordered. The world is very sticky. It doesn't want to let you go. It'll bog you down. It's easy to get bogged down. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent was like this. The way that the serpent waged warfare against Adam and Eve was by using the voice of confusion to try to distract them and trick them. It's like, well, it's not really that simple, what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. It's not that simple. There's a catch. There's another part. So sometimes the enemy will try to do that, will try to throw something at you tricky or throw you off your game. And witchcraft is like this, or fake religion. It's very complicated. Fake religion and witchcraft are both very complicated. They have all these obscure rituals, whether you're talking about like Hinduism or the many, many Muslim books. They have a lot of law books. And with the New Age movement, the more complex and weird it is and the more crazy props they have, the more popular it is, you know, or how impressive. I was reading this article on Fox News. There's this lady that's become this exorcist to the stars, to the celebrities, that she's like really hot right now, that people are giving her huge amounts of money and gifts and houses to get her to come do a cleansing, like a Reiki type cleansing of their house. And or they go to her house and she'll do a cleansing or an exorcism of bad juju and bad spirits. And she's got, like, I'm looking at the picture of her and of her house. She's got her hair dyed black. She's got the deep, you know, deep makeup. She's got the necklaces with the black feathers and the long black dress. And she bought this creepy mansion that has all these, like, iron grates on the window and stained glass. And her little room where she does cleansing is full of African, South American, Indian, and Christian paintings and dolls and all sorts of things. And she uses this iron dagger. She'll lay it on top of somebody and burn sage and mutter all these chants. And people are crazy about this. They love it. They just eat it up. And she's like, yeah, and it's really hard. And after I pray for an exorcism or migraine headaches, I have to sleep for 2 days at home to recover. And I'm thinking, oh, so complicated, so hard, you know. But the crazier it is, the more people like it. And, you know, I've got some friends that are into witchcraft, and I had a lot more when I was a teenager, and I used to witness to them and try to explain the gospel to them. And because following Jesus doesn't involve a lot of chanting, spells. There's no star charts. There's no things that you map out with your pen, with all sorts of weird designs and tattoos, and that you don't burn different herbs. They were just thought it was really boring. Like, they just weren't interested. It just wasn't cool. Christianity is not cool enough, you know, because it doesn't have all that stuff with it, you know? And they just couldn't take it seriously. It was actually offensive to them that I was like, no, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to do all those things. That does nothing. It's unnecessary. Yeah. So the world really looks down on simple things. Really just doesn't take it seriously at all. And the world praises complicated things. But God is totally different. He is truth. And he's light. And we need to let the word of truth cut through all of the mess around us. All the but this and the but that, and it has to be this, this. The word of truth, we need to apply it to our life, apply it to our thought life, apply it to our relationships around us, and we'll have peace all around us and on the inside when we do that. And I'm not going to go to these scriptures, but I'm just going to throw them out there. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. 1 John 3, verse 18. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1. And that's just scratching the surface. There's a lot of scriptures in the Old and New Testament about the word of truth, especially in the Psalms. gets real crazy in the Psalms. You should definitely look them up. It's amazing. The Lord is very clear about how much he wants us to do that and apply the word of truth to our lives in every circumstance, and how it just makes it everything way better, way easier, way simpler. And it protects our heart, the wellspring of life. I have to say that being pregnant has really made me simplify my life and my goals. I've had to stop making long-term complicated plans. I just have to take one day at a time. And every day I just have to focus on eating, sleeping, going to work. If I get some laundry done, that's great. If I can't get to it, not great. Trying to be nice to Josh and not snap at him when I've been throwing up in the toilet. And so I've just been, my life has kind of just boiled down to the essentials of just getting through each day. And I've stopped worrying a lot about the future, so that I don't get overwhelmed. Because if I try to think about all that stuff too much while I'm not feeling good, I just start to snowball and I get overwhelmed and too emotional and stuff. So it's nice. I feel kind of liberated. And I accomplished most of my goals every day because they're really easy goals. So I feel like, hey, I made it through this day. I did this. I did everything I set out to do. Yes. Because I just have one really important future goal that I'm looking forward to. And all the other goals just have to kind of line up right now with that one big goal that I'm reaching for that's 4 months away now. So anyway... And as Christians in the kingdom, we kind of have a similar deal. We have a really large, overreaching goal that we have to focus on. And that has to do with being with the Lord, being his kids, living out this gospel, you know, having our walk with the Lord. And so back to Colossians chapter 3. And get myself back there. Starting with verse 1. If you have then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So when Christ is our life, we need to try to put our minds on heavenly things, not always on earthly things, and not get so caught up in everything going down here. That doesn't mean we forget or that we're detached from what's going on here, but we have to have that perspective that we're in Christ, we're seated with him, he is our life, and we look at the whole world through that lens, then the peace of God is able to just come and rule and be there, because then it's not up to you anymore to make everything happen exactly right and perfectly. You're like, okay, God's got this. I don't have to be so worried. I don't have to push so hard. Everyone's saying, do this, do that, do this, don't do that, come here, come there. Well, that's not as important than, hey, I'm with Christ. That's the most important thing. Me and Jesus are together. We're going to make it. You know, it really helps. Josh's dreams with the vines making it hard for him to get to the Bible. You know, when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower, where it talks about a farmer went out to his field and sowed seeds, threw them out on the land, and then these different challenges appeared. And in verse 7, he specifically talks about weeds coming up and choking the young plants and killing off the crop that way. And then when the disciples asked Jesus about it later, he explained to them in verse 22 that this is the cares of this world and riches that can come up and choke the gospel and knock it out. And I love the parables. The cares of this world, though, sometimes we think it's the cares of this world is kind of a vague term, though, if you think about it. This can include a lot of things in your life. The cares of this world and riches, this can be your heart's desires, things that you want. It can be the goals you're trying to reach. It can be material possessions. You're keeping up with your stuff. Riches, that's obviously like money, can be paying the bills. Cares of the world can include the people you care about in your life that you're trying to love and care for. It can be trying to keep up with friends. You know, me and Josh have a lot of really great young friends that they go out and do all sorts of fun stuff all the time. They're always inviting us out. If I tried to keep up with them and go to everything, every restaurant, party, event that they invited me to, I'd never be home. There's no every rock concert, every house party. I'm just like, I can't do this. So cares of this world can be healthy things, it can be unhealthy things, it can be good things, it can be bad things, it can be legitimate needs that, you know, like you need to have money to pay your bills and put food in the fridge, or it could be stuff that we maybe think we need, but not necessarily really in reality. Sometimes it's stuff that we need to get over. It just includes all of it, all of it. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? You know, can you turn one of your hairs gray, and, you know, or black or whatever? All that caring and all that worrying doesn't solve anything most of the time. Yeah. And Jesus did not tell us to stop caring about stuff. Instead, he said, your Father in heaven already knows what you need. You need to ask him. Ask him for it. And yeah, and that's the hard part, is sometimes we ask the Lord for stuff, but we don't necessarily believe he's actually going to give us what we need. But he doesn't mock us. You know, he's not like one of those parents that shows up on TV for beating their child or starving them, you know. The Lord gives us good things, and he wants to take care of every single need that we have. He even takes care of the birds and the grass and everything. So he says, how much more are you worth? We're worth so much more to the Father. So it's not that the Lord wants us to forget everything and just stop caring about people or the world or stuff. It's more like he just wants us to see it through a different lens and bring it to him and lay that burden on him. Otherwise, the enemy can possibly pull us off the right path, and we might end up making decisions that are confused, or worse, might get feel paralyzed and just stop making decisions. Some people respond to stress in different ways. Some people freak out and run away. Other people, when they get stressed, they will make bad decisions, fly off the handle, do things they shouldn't do. And then some people, when they get stressed out, they just freeze. And they, what I like to call turtling, they hunker down, they stop answering their phone, and they just stop making decisions at all. And the Lord doesn't want us to go through any of those. He wants to be with us through all of that and give us that peace so that we can keep walking with him and not get stuck. So anyway, I really feel like this morning was perfect, because I feel like the Lord is just challenging us to lay down some of our burdens and lay down some of our cares and to give up on some of the drama, you know, and make a commitment to spending some time with him, quality time, without all of the craziness. And he's inviting us to peace. You know, the door is open for him to give us peace. And he's not playing with us. The Lord's not a player. He's extremely direct with us. You know, he's never said something to me that he didn't mean. He always means exactly what he says. He will never manipulate us or give us false promises. And he never turns down or makes fun of any need that's brought to him, even if it's something we think, well, I think this is really stupid. I don't think I should pray about this. The Lord doesn't think that way at all. He doesn't think it's stupid, the stuff we care about. He really cares about the stuff that we care about. Amen. And so anyway, that is all of that. So now I just want to go ahead and close the service. And anybody who needs to get going and leave can head out. But if you want to stay, we'll play a couple songs and guitar, and the altar's open. If you want to come, or if you just want to sit in your chair and have some time with the Lord and just lay some of those burdens down and see if he has anything to say to you about your life. You guys are going to recognize this because I wrote this song a couple weeks ago in church. Let's go back to the simple things, the little things, the first things. Let's go back to the little things, the elementary things, our first love. Let's go back to the simple things, the little things, the first things. Let's go back to the little things, the elementary things, our first love. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's all praise the Lord. 5, 6, 7, 8. His entire God great. 9, 10, 11, 12. We've all been saved from hell because
Because the first has made himself the last. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's all praise the Lord. 5, 6, 7, 8. Isn't our God great? 9, 10, 11, 12. We've all been saved from hell because the first has made himself the last. Let's go back to the simple things, the little things, the first things. Let's go back to the little things, the elementary things, our first love. The way forward is back, the way up is to bow low. The least and the small will inherit it all. It's the kingdom of God, where backwards is forwards, higher is lower, greater is smaller. The greatest of all has made himself small. Let's go back to the simple things, the little things, the first things. Let's go back to the little things, the elementary things, our first love. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's all praise the Lord. 5, 6, 7, 8. Isn't our God great? 9, 10, 11, 12. We've all been saved from hell because the first has made himself the last. Lord, we just give you this week. We just ask for your presence, Lord. We just ask for your peace to be over every person here as they go home, that your peace would go with them. We just pray for blessing on every house here, Father, that you would take care of every need, that you would clear away any drama or any confusion in their life and their family, at their workplace. Just pray for protection on every heart and mind here. And we just pray for your gospel, the good news of Jesus, to shine in every person today and as they go out. Amen.